CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Tuesday is here. Tuesday means we have the pleasure of the company of Mbulelo Tinta and Pumi Mashiko and you, of course. It's really the only reason Sia and I even get up anymore, is, you know? Oh, who said that? Oh. All right, we are...
A roundabout sounds like a nice thing to say.
You think it's a nice thing to say? I think so.
My alarm went off on Thursday morning last week, and I legit had a panic attack thinking it was Tuesday morning, and I'd forgotten to set my alarm for the right time.
Oh, well, welcome to my life every day.
Yeah. And all I could think about was Sia saying to me, "Sis, for me."
It's amazing.
Am I the voice of your nightmares now?
You know, it doesn't matter how many times I've done this show, and it's my show, I can do what I want with it, but the biggest fear I have is still not waking up on time.
No, that's a legitimate fear.
I put the fear of God into myself every single day. Oh, I've got to wake up tomorrow. I hope I don't oversleep. Like last night again, for the second night in a row, I couldn't sleep properly. And all I could do was lie there in bed going, oh, please don't oversleep. Just don't oversleep. It doesn't matter if you're tired. You'll make it through the day. You'll be fine. Just do not oversleep.
Oh, man, this is becoming a problem for you.
I'm an adult man with this issue with sleeping. It's ridiculous. Children can figure this shit out. Why am I stuck?
Although, what is happening that the sleep is evading you, you know?
I don't know. I think it's bad karma from a previous life.
Yeah, you need to recharge your crystals in the moonlight.
Yeah, there's something I did something.
You've just missed the moon.
In a previous life, I did something obviously wicked, and now this life is taking the punishment for it.
Are you a Sagittarius? or whatever people say.
Here he goes.
He's such a Pisces.
Yeah, people say that stuff, and then
that's ridiculous.
And then that suffices as an explanation for anything, right?
Yeah, like their follow-up is always, are you a Pisces? Yes. Oh, that makes sense.
That explains everything. Oh.
I could tell. My aunt's a Pisces. Oh,
you know what?
God.
I'm so glad you two men were not in this conversation, since Pumi and I were having just before we went on air.
What was it?
We were talking about the traits of a Cancer because it's her birthday tomorrow.
Ah, Pumi.
Which is devastating that I have no one to give the cupcakes I'm going to bake to.
I'll do a drive-by.
Come through.
Sure. Loaded with chocolates and I'm yours.
Such a waste of cupcakes.
Yes, chocolates and caramel. So I was wondering if I could make just like 4 cupcakes. Mm. And I don't know if I have what it takes to make just 4.
But hang on. You don't you have those baking trays and you have a certain number in the tray and you have to just make the whole tray?
Yeah. There's a 6 one, which is big cupcakes, and then there's like a 12 one, which is just normal sized cupcakes. That's not the problem. The problem is the recipe. You can't use half an egg.
Yeah, that's why you're gonna make them all. And you know what, Pumi? Right. You're allowed to. It's your birthday tomorrow. You can do whatever you want. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Birthday calories don't count.
But you're also raising the only young person I've ever met who does not really give a damn about chocolate.
Yeah, this is a true story.
He doesn't care about chocolate?
No.
Wow. Well, bizarre.
Sia knows this because Sia eats the leftover lint bunnies like 3 months after Easter. Sia gets lint.
That I have to admit was like my first bonding experience with Sis Pumi years ago. And it was weeks after Easter and she was sitting in the office. She goes, she looks so concerned. I go, what's going on? She says, I don't know. I have all of these Easter chocolates stuck in my fridge. Ganejo and I don't like chocolate. I don't know what to do with them. Is this woman joking?
Like, I've never said I don't like chocolate. Those words could never come out of my mouth. I did say, however, that I don't want to keep them in my fridge because I will be forced to eat them.
I said with pleasure. Bring them. So,
basically, between you guys with your chocolate problem and me with my sleeping problem, we all have such serious issues going on in our lives.
Big stuff.
Big Dude. Stuff.
Big stuff.
Bulelo, what is your problem these days?
Bulelo has no problems. He lives out of a duffel bag.
Yeah. What is your biggest, like, if you had to define and distill your biggest problem in the world right now, what would it be?
Right now, it's the people that are victims. It's like people that live around me.
Yeah.
And their lives are just so hard at the moment.
Are you talking about us?
People in general. If you fit into that category, you know who you are. If the shoe fits. So I'm not saying anyone in particular, but I have one or two people that just... one thing I can't handle is whinging. I just can't do it.
I have three right now.
I'm catching what you're throwing.
Mm-hmm. And you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my gripe at the moment. Otherwise, I'm good. Feeling healthy.
Sure.
So does that mean you're off social media? Because this is essentially the posture of social media at any given moment.
I'm only ever on social media to catch up with the sports world. So I don't follow anyone on social media. I have zero people that I'm following other than the place I work. I have literally followed zero people on Twitter, zero people on Instagram, and my Facebook is to catch up with sport. That is it.
Oof, what an exciting life.
Bulelo, I've been wanting to ask you, because obviously sports opening up all over the world, there was like, I saw golf the other day. I see the tennis is back on, the soccer's back on, and there's like, they're not allowed to have fans at the stadium. And I was wondering if the feeling is the same watching it. Does it give you the same kind of like, yeah?
It does, because especially football, I always watch with no commentary anywhere, because I like to watch for what I like to watch for, not what the commentators want me to watch for. So for me, it hasn't really made a difference, to be honest. Yeah. No fans, so fans.
The play is the same, because I wondered, because it's a performance, right? Sports is also a performance.
And it's theater, sure.
All performance, in my view. Also, we had what's his name the other day saying the interaction with the audience is just as important. The feedback, the noise.
Josh Lindberg.
Yeah.
Yes, Josh.
So I wondered what it must feel like to be playing, to just have the 11 of you on the field and nobody in the stands.
So I do know a Premier League player, and he said it's not great for him. I mean, they've got to stay professional. Plus, his team's not doing well. So without the home crowd, he says it's just not the same. But as a viewer, these guys are, you know, the final level. But in New Zealand, by the way, fully back.
Oh, really?
50,000 packed. Jacinda's just there with her teeth. And they are the Oh, sorry.
Jacinda
Everyone has teeth.
Sorry. Yeah. You horror of a human being.
Sorry.
What's wrong with doing a good job? The Prime Minister's teeth?
No, nothing. She has them. But it's a good point. It's a good point. Without that theatre, especially, you know, the English Premier League is all about the chanting, and it's a huge TV product in that sense.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this without real live crowds. I did see a very funny thing. I don't know if it's real or not. But, you know, there's that meme of the big black dude sitting on the edge of the bed with his enormous penis hanging out.
What?
You know the one.
No.
What?
Yes, man.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
A big, bald, black dude who's sitting on the edge of the bed, and he's got this huge penis, and it hangs out, you know.
The thing is, you never see what's going on up until you click the photo.
And then it's him.
I want to use another word as opposed to enlarges, but
people were encouraged at one of the Premier League matches to submit a photo of themselves, and then they would put all those people's photos in the stands, you know, so that during the match you would see yourself somewhere in the crowd. And someone put this guy as their picture.
I also saw someone with a Bin Laden.
Bin Laden was the one.
Yeah.
Kim Jong was the one. In Korea, the Korean Baseball League, they had stalls.
That's hilarious.
Well, No. The team had sex dolls.
Who had the job of having to blow up all of those dolls? What did you tell your parents as you were leaving to go to work, sis?
And when you came home, did you kiss your mom with that mouth?
Oh.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys something embarrassing.
For who?
Well, I find it embarrassing because this is probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever revealed on the show. I have a downstairs toilet that was gurgling and bubbling and making a noise for the last couple of weeks, maybe. With even before lockdown, it was doing this a little bit, going and it was like talking to me, like a magic spell was being chanted.
Yes, get a plumber.
I'd wake up sometimes and this thing would be talking and I could hear it from my bed, which is not close.
Could have been Jesus.
I thought that it needs Jesus, right? So I called up the plumber. The plumber says to me, no, it sounds like the main drain that empties into the, you know, municipal drain. Sounds like that might be backing up a little bit. So I'm like, oh, shit, then we got to sort that out. So he said, yeah, he'll send a guy around. So this guy arrived yesterday. And this guy, first of all, he remembered where all the pipes were. It's incredible. You know, when you are dealing with a specialist, when you're dealing with someone who knows what's going on, this dude knew where the pipes were. He knew where the inspection holes were, everything else. So he opens this thing up and he sticks down this huge thick spring, and they've got a machine that turns the spring down the pipe. It's an incredible thing to watch. I know most of us are not that interested in plumbing because it's something we prefer to ignore. Anyway, it turns out that because I've been living in this house now for almost, 10 years, maybe even more than 10 years, the roots of the trees eventually start, you know, getting in the way of the lights. So this is what was causing the problem. But it also was backing up the loo. And if I'd left it, if I hadn't dealt with it, the guy says, no, the stuff would have started backing up into all the toilets and into my shower. Oh, yes. So thank God I got this sorted out in time. But this mechanism...
Imagine those visuals.
I know. The mechanism that they use, though, for unblocking a loo, unblocking a pipe is incredible. This huge, very thick spring that gets coiled through a machine that pushes it forward or pulls it back. It's amazing how that works. And so I called the guy who owns the plumbing company afterwards. I said, you know what? You were 100% right. How did you know this? He said, experience.
Know what I'm doing.
Right. And I think that's so important to get people who know what they're doing.
So what I'm most interested in this entire story is what now with the tree and those roots?
Did you say so what now?
Oh.
Ha-ha. Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. only on ENCA.
Channel 403. Yes. We should just create a little thing that just whenever people say what now or so what now, we drop that in and it goes, choo, 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 choo. So what now? So, okay, the tree, apparently they say we've just got to keep an eye. So I'll have to just keep an eye. Otherwise, you know what that means, chopping out the tree and putting a new pipe in. And I'm hoping it won't get to that, but who knows?
Gee whiz.
Yeah, so it was on my mind last night, which tree it might be and how I might have to kill it one day. And
you're going to take a life. Trees are alive and they feel.
Yeah, you're saying tree lives matter?
Oh, I have a friend like that. Well, friend strong. She's getting on my last one.
Anyway, I thought that was embarrassing. Ooh. Because to have a toilet that makes those noises is not, you know, that to me is very humiliating.
Even if you're on your own. Like,
dude, it was doing it on... I didn't do anything to activate it. It would just suddenly start going... Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. No, I would have had a come to Jesus moment. I mean, this is the year 2020. No, it's the year 2020 after all, you know.
If you walk downstairs to see what the hell was going on, you'd think there's a monster in there. It sounded like maybe Babel was swimming around in the, you know. And then when you get there, it was like, it was also spitting a little bit. So.
See, look, God spoke through Moses or someone through the burning bush. 2020, he could have been speaking to you through the toilet. I would have gotten to my knees.
Damn right.
Yes, Your Holiness.
They probably needed to.
Imabula Lilayo, would you just check if our connection is working so that the 079-748-2090 number is... Ah, here it is. It's working. Don't worry. Got it sorted.
Sorted out.
Okay, very good. I'm so happy to hear Mbulelo's voice. I miss him. No wonder the thing was stuck. Christine has got a compliment for Mbulelo. That never happens.
Christine, such pearls before a swine. Mbulelo doesn't know how to take compliments.
No, he doesn't. Woody says, Gareth, you need to get laid, then you will have a good night's sleep. Ah, that's the missing... you're right. But then
Woody, there's a pandemic going on.
There's a lot of people in the world who are not sleeping then, Woody, by your logic.
Wow.
Lots of us.
Wow.
Lots. Then someone says, please tell Carl with the premature baby who sent us a message yesterday that I wondered where he disappeared to during lockdown over 10 times. You see how our listeners think about each other even though they haven't met?
That's both beautiful and a little weird.
I think that is magic. That's really special.
Why is it weird, Sia?
That's from Yvonne, by the way.
Thanks, Yvonne. Well, the killerness.
Oh, Sia, not everyone. Not everyone is a killer.
Okay.
This is nice from Carol. She says, sadly, I had to murder a tree which was creeping into our drains. It had cracked the pipes, and the plumber had to dig up the garden to replace the pipes. What a mess. Yeah, but imagine the mess if it had backed up into your lavatories.
Ah, right.
Into your shower, dude.
Yeah.
Ramit,
imagine into your shower. Imagine you get turds coming up through your shower drain.
And I'm just picturing, because I like to luxuriate in a bathtub. Next thing, with my eyes closed and I have cucumbers over my eyes, and I think, ooh, the water's particularly warmer and thicker now.
And you look around and it's brown.
Just rubbing myself in all of this.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Hey, guys, I didn't sleep last night, and I agree with Woody. That's from Neil. That's the reason. Using Woody's logic, Mbulelo must be an insomniac. That's from
Guillermo. Is that your comment or someone? Okay,
no, it's from Guillermo.
You guys.
Wow.
Too early for that kind of thing, y'all. It's too early for that kind of thing.
People have got sex advice this time in the morning, huh?
Look, let's be sensitive.
Now, I was saying that we've had a rough 2020 and that can't 2020 take a break on the bad headlines? But it seems not, because this story came through yesterday. I want to know what you think of it. China confirms bubonic plague.
Bubonic plague!
In Inner Mongolia. Apparently there's a case of bubonic plague in a herdsman in Inner Mongolia. And they say, they are checking suspected plague cases and patients running a fever for unidentified reasons. They also want citizens to report dead animals.
Ugh. Listen. That headline properly got me, like, I actually turned off my phone. I was like, okay, I'm off social media now. That was on Bloomberg, right? Bloomberg.
Yeah, it's been reported on IOL this morning as well.
So I saw it on Bloomberg, and I just thought to myself, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Killer hornets.
I know.
Yes.
Bubonic plague.
Coke bores the other day.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Inner Mongolia, but the Inner Mongolia parts and dead animals is the one that really got me.
Just remember, this is the same disease that killed 50 million people back in the 14th century.
Yes.
It is now the most common type of plague and can be treated with antibiotics. But Inner Mongolia reported 4 cases in November, while Madagascar sees a few cases nearly every year between the months of September and April. So forget about Outer Mongolia or Inner Mongolia. Madagascar is not that far from us.
But listen, this bubonic plague, it causes painful, swollen lymph nodes.
Oh, yes.
As well as fever, chills, and coughing. Goodbye.
Yes, you get what do they call a pustulence, Sia.
Oh!
And sometimes your pustulances burst. And you know what they used to do?
That sounds like something even Dr. Harry, Stemfield, shouldn't say.
In the Middle Ages, what they would do is they would, they thought it was a punishment from God for having done something wicked and horrible, right? Because in the Middle Ages, they didn't.
Sounds like it, though.
Yeah, but it does sound like a punishment from God. But in the Middle Ages, they didn't know what the hell was going on. And they'd come around with a cart to everyone's house and go, bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! And you just load the dead body onto a cart and then go and dump it in a mass grave. And that was the funeral.
This just like a daily thing?
Yeah, because there's so many people dying. 50 million people, Sia, in just Europe. And there were so many people dying, they couldn't even have funerals. They just threw them all into a big pit and put some lye on top of them or some, you know, calcium salts or whatever.
That's like the population of South Africa.
Yep. Yep, 50 million people died. In a space,
it's carried by rats.
Right. Fleas on rats, actually.
Oh.
I mean, could you get a more gross combination? Like, fleas carry it, but the fleas live on rats, and the rats are gross, and they live all over London, for example. And then all the people of London. I mean, you know, we tend to think, again, I just love history, and I wrote a little blog which you might want to go and have a look at. There's always a podcast that goes with it, so if you're too lazy to read, then you can just listen. And you can go to cliffcentral.com, and it's on the main page. It's all about, like, why the 4th of July actually matters to people outside of America as well, and what it means to freedom and liberty and open societies and all the stuff we take for granted, because people really do take that stuff for granted now. You know, I met someone the other day who was, I thought, educated until I started speaking to them, and they very quickly revealed that they had absolutely no understanding of history, and they thought history was like we live now, just before, and that people all got along, and that you know, the 60s was just great, and the 50s was great, and the 40s was great, and but in the 30s there was that Hitler guy. They did know that, but before that there must have been nice as well, because we had like Gatsby, you know. And it just drove me into a state of depression, because I thought, no wonder we have people all over the world who don't know how lucky they are. And it's always the people who don't know how lucky they are. You know, I heard a great line yesterday about a lot of this consternation we see in the United States at the moment. Someone said that this isn't a revolution. This is a rebellion to comfort the already comfortable, to make them feel less guilty about what they've got. Because if you look at a lot of the people, you know, for example, in Black Lives Matter, only one in every six people is actually black in a Black Lives Matter protest, which, I mean, I'm all for allies, but that's not what's really going on. It's mostly a bunch of college-educated, financially well-off, quite comfortable people who are joining in this to assuage what they regard as some kind of guilt for the fact that they live better than most people in history. Again, this is why history matters, right? And you can look up the figures, but it's interesting that one in six people in a Black Lives Matter protest is black, and four out of five of those people is actually politically identified as a Democrat. And that many of these young, wealthy white people who are in these protests are actually not there for Black Lives Matter. They're there because it's their moment to virtue signal what a non-racist they are, what an anti-racist they are. You know what I mean? And this is just a direct correlation to how little they know about history. Because they've suddenly gone and they've taken the one thing that isn't about them, Black Lives Matter. It's even in the name. And they've made it about them. It drives me up the wall when people are that narcissistic and that self-absorbed. It's because they don't study history.
So speaking of studying history, right, one of the things that a lot of people find difficult or irritating or uninteresting about history is obviously the manner in which it is presented. It's all the dates trotted out and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Which is why the Blind History podcast, right, is trying to make all of those things a little bit more interesting.
Did you say Blind History? That's on cliffcentral.com. Go download the podcast now.
I love a good promo.
Thanks, Pums. You've plugged both of our shows. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
And this weekend, we were lucky enough to get a code to Hamilton, right? Because this weekend streaming, Disney streaming.
Uh-huh.
And we got a local code as part of the July 4th celebrations from the embassy. And we got to enjoy Hamilton at home here.
Awesome.
And anyone who knows, Hamilton was difficult to get into when it was on Broadway. It was like sold out. And then when you could get that last minute ticket, it cost a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
What a story and experience. If you don't know, it's about one of the founding fathers of America, Alexander Hamilton, and the story of his life. He died in a duel. Spoiler alert.
Aaron Burr.
Who was the vice president of America at the time, but anyway.
No, the vice president, just think about this. The vice president, this is such a great story, Pumi. I'm so pleased you brought this up. I haven't seen the musical. I was meant to go and see it in New York, and I didn't, you know, I don't like musicals. That's the first thing. I'm not biased against, and I know that this, what is his name? Miranda. What's the dude's name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel.
He is a genius, all right? And everybody says he's an absolute genius, and this is the best show on Broadway in the last 20 years, which I'm sure it is, but I hate musicals. So I said, I had free tickets for me.
I don't even want to, I'm not engaging you on that.
I feel like
move to the point.
That means I'm a Philistine, so I'll take the punishment on that front. But this story is so great because I remember reading it as a kid because I was very interested in John Adams, and then John Adams takes you on to Washington, and Washington takes you on to Jefferson, and Jefferson takes you on to Hamilton, and so on. Eventually, you've got all the founding fathers of the United States, and you know, as a kid, I didn't have anything else to do. And I was a real nerd, and I just read about this story. So you mentioned how Hamilton died. He was challenged to a duel by the sitting vice president. A pistol duel, Sia.
No.
When you start off and you back-to-back, and you've got your gun in your hand? You count to 10. You take 10 steps, you turn around, and you shoot the other person. And whoever emerges alive is the victor.
And now people feel attacked by a tweet.
I know.
Someone was attacked by a gun.
Yeah, right. The vice president shot this guy and killed him.
And all because of professional jealousy.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
So the show is amazing, is it?
Fuck and miss. The show is brilliant. Because it's all rap. It's all hip-hop rap.
Yeah.
It is a musical, but it's rapped.
So did Kanejo and like it?
First of all, he's watched it. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long. He's watched it twice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Jesus, that's amazing.
And downloaded the soundtrack.
To get a kid to watch something twice, that's phenomenal.
No, that you can do, right? They'll watch it a lot of times. I've seen Lightning McQueen more than enough times, more than my fingers and toes.
Yeah, right.
But it downloaded the soundtrack, and this is... And now he's on Google. He keeps telling me all of these little interesting things that he missed the first time around, or that he's now figured out. That so and so and so and so and that's the thing, right? It's about the package. One of the things that makes people hate history is the package.
Yeah, and if you have, we were talking about this yesterday because we had a teacher on the show, and we were all saying how it matters, Sia and Leanne and I. If you have a great teacher in a certain subject, you just do better at that subject. It's, you know, it's a fait accompli.
So now, of course, we're having lots of conversations about American politics.
Yes, sure.
Uh-oh.
I know. He's just discovered American politics. And it doesn't help that, was shot in a duel, taking his shot. And the way that they have packaged it is they have made it so linked to anybody's life today, that anybody, because this is what America does so well, right, is this show around everything about them and who they are and where they come from, is how everybody's life can be like an, except for the dual part, can be like the Alexander Hamilton kind of life. You know, you can take the moment.
Well,
you take the moment and rise up to the top.
I think it's so great.
Just make things happen for yourself.
It's so, but you see, this is how we get people to appreciate history. Because here now, I mean, people are calling for his statue to be pulled down because all those people, all the founding fathers, they were humans.
Were thugs.
They were full of faults. They were rough guys. I mean, they were also creatures of the Enlightenment. And if they hadn't come along, and this is the thrust of my blog, which is on cliffcentral.com, is that if they hadn't come along, we would be much further back down the path with a lot less having happened. So if you come along now in 2020 and you say, oh, but, you know, but the problem with Thomas Jefferson is he didn't care about trans lives. You sound like such an idiot, because what you're really saying is, I don't know anything about history. You're not saying Thomas Jefferson is a fool for not having known about trans lives. Do you understand? It means you're such an ignoramus, and your ignorance is being transferred onto history because you don't know any better. And, of course, history is imperfect. Do you really think there are people walking around on Earth who are perfect people? What kind of childish, infantile idea is that? That there are people around who are just morally and ethically pure and perfect? What kind of people are raised that way? I mean, are your parents complete morons?
Or Catholics?
Or, well,
that's
unfair. I mean, what did the Catholics do in this discussion, Bulelo?
They are the height of piety, aren't they?
Are they? Why are you going after them? Because Catholics keep on saying how imperfect they are. They spend most of Easter walking around the church flagellating themselves with words and thoughts and constant guilt.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Is that fair? I mean, well, you had to bring in the Catholics. Shame. They were just waking up.
That's the height of piety, isn't it? You're perfect or you're the sinner, and you must be punished.
Well, I think
I haven't whipped out the list of things Mbulelo hates in a while.
I think Catholics need to go in there.
You certainly can add that.
The world's biggest church congregation has just been added to the things Mbulelo hates.
Put it at the
point
top of the
number
list.
49.
All right, a few headlines for us this morning, because we do have to move ahead with other stuff. I'm so impressed that Kanejo likes Hamilton. That's great. I'm not impressed because I'm surprised. I'm impressed because I hate musicals, and here's a child with more cultural appreciation than me. Not surprising, actually. Shouldn't be to me. I immediately jumped to comrade language. I mean, the Gauteng government says it is not calling for the return of a hard lockdown. Thank God for that. According to Gauteng provincial spokesperson Thabo Masebe, following media reports suggesting the province is considering imposing stricter regulations, we are not calling for the return of a hard lockdown. We fully understand and support the current risk-adjusted strategy, which is being implemented by the national government. So before anybody panics and thinks you have to go out now and, you know, stock up on toilet paper or booze or whatever else it is, don't be stupid. Even government, who are stupid, realize that it's pointless to try and wind back the clock. We now have to push through. And we may see more deaths, but we're only over, 3,000 at this point, which I think by all estimates is a very, very low number. I mean, compared to a lot of other countries, we've done quite well. And whether that's because of lockdown, or it's because of people being personally responsible, or just because Africa's generally performing quite well and maybe we fall into the performance of countries around us, maybe that's part of the reason. You can inject your reasons here. I know what governments are going to say. They're going to say it's because of lockdown that we're doing so well, because they have a dog in the fight, you see. But that's the main story from them this morning. In other news, there are a couple of things going on here. EWN reporting that suspects in a 5.7 million rand UIF fraud case have been granted bail.
Yeah, these are the guys we brought up last week.
5,000 rand. 5,000 rand a person. These people got off with 1 million each. There's five million, 5,000 rand paying.
If you didn't get your UIF money for the COVID-19 UIF relief, you know, situation that they've implemented, could be because of these guys. The money was intended for labor brokers to distribute to about 1,400 UIF beneficiaries. So could be you, right? There's 1,400 people who are sitting there waiting for their money. Some of it was fraudulently transferred into the account of employee Tsepang Pohole, who wired it to his family members. The state did not oppose bail on the basis that since the arrest, the six suspects have been cooperating with the investigation and their addresses have been verified.
The they bought cars.
Well, shame.
With the money.
Well, we touched on some of it. The fact that he gave some money to his girlfriend, to his brother, to his sister-in-law. He did some kitchen renovations at home.
Hey, how many girlfriends did he have?
According to the articles we read, it was just the one. Four tombstones for some relatives. Okay. So the law says he was cooperating. Okay.
Well,
do you think they're going to repossess the tombstones?
They probably will. They'll probably repossess everything. 5.7 million rand has been taken in total from by the six suspects, and five cars were seized during arrest at the weekend. So, as Pumi says, they bought some cars.
You see, perhaps you need to spend money. Okay. Note to anyone who might steal: spend money on things they can't take away from you, like a facelift.
Yeah, that's a good point. But also, guys, a general note to everybody, if suspicious money suddenly arrives in your account to the tune of 5 odd million rand, you can more or less be assured that it's not there on purpose and that it's a mistake.
All right.
And that someone's going to come after you for the money. And you may end up spending much of your adult life paying back money you didn't actually earn, that you used to spend on cars and such things.
I just want to remind you guys that there is still that woman that is unknown to all of us, who is the employee of one of the money cash in transit companies,
yeah,
who walked off with 10 million.
That's right. She's
still
just,
at large.
She just walked out of the premises,
disappeared.
Right?
Disappeared.
Yeah.
But disappeared. I think what you need to understand is that she's a gone girl with that money.
Here in Gauteng, right?
And can we also just add that she's the clever one, because she's not buying flashy cars or making herself seen and heard and living it up. She's clever enough to know that she needs to get the hell out of here and hide that money. Right.
Oh, she's consulted a good surgeon, and she probably goes by the name Large Marge these days. We'll never find her now.
Yes. Here's an interesting story. The Western Cape could soon be home to a deep space ground station. That's right. Deep space ground station is a series of satellite dishes that form part of an integrated network designed for seamless communication with deep space missions, the likes of which would go to the moon or Mars. And the Western Cape could be the home to this array soon. You know, it's already got, I think it's in the Western Cape. Is Sutherland in the Northern Cape or the Western Cape? I think it might be the Northern Cape.
I think it might be the Northern Cape. They lead the space, wide open spaces.
That's right.
And whose initiative is that? Because that's awesome.
It's Dr. Pieter Kotze from the South African National Space Agency, who explained why the area close to Mikiesfontein is so ideal. He says there are similar stations around the world, but only one other in the Southern Hemisphere, and that's in Australia. Says it's in a sort of valley which provides excellent shielding from man-made noise and will receive signals from outer space.
Sutherland is in the Northern Cape, yes, in the Karoo.
Okay.
Oh, so that man-made noise, there's no one who wants to live there.
No, no one lives in the Northern Cape. Yeah. I think there are three people in the whole of the Northern Cape, and one of them is
the
premier.
It's the best place. Yeah. It is the best.
A 41-year-old man in Bombela in Mpumalanga has been taken in for questioning in a case of possession of human body parts.
Yo.
Muti people, I'm telling you, this stuff happens. Two other suspects, 45-year-old Jabulani Sam Nguni and 49-year-old Pascal Mandla Gininda, also appeared in the Eerstehoek Magistrates Court on Monday for the same crime. So three people arrested in Elukwatini after police discovered a human leg, a placenta, and a knee in their just a knee. It was lying around in the among all their stuff in their fridge, there was a knee, a human knee.
Outrageous.
Their arrest spirals from an intelligence-driven operation, which prompted police to follow up on information regarding a red sedan, which is on its way to Iluquatini, with two occupants conveying human body parts. He added the suspect's vehicle was intercepted at an intersection where police thoroughly searched it and discovered a leg, placenta, and knee, which was separately collected from a certain house.
I don't know if I told you this before. In town, there is Guamuti Wholesalers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this has come up. So this is a huge factory packed with these types of people. And there is the entire spectrum. I'm telling you.
There's a difference between people who grow herbs for Muti and people who kill for Muti.
There were things there that looked alive. I went inside. This was unbelievable to me. There were things that were once alive.
What did you see?
Hey, some of these things look like they'd been alive before. Could have been a knee. Could have been a knee. Now that I know, you can find it.
Why did you even go there?
I don't know. I keep the worst friends. And
this is interesting because you're a curious person. So you went to this big Muti warehouse.
Guamuti Wholesalers, to be
clear. That's what it's actually called.
Yes. No, there's a huge sign. As you're going through town, you can see it. It's massive.
And do they have
placentas? Now that you've mentioned what's possible, I'm pretty sure
a bat's wing and a gorilla hand and that kind of shit.
And it's packed. Listen, and it's not just black people. It is the entire spectrum of South Africa in there. Yeah. It was one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had. People Guamuti Wholesalers.
Buying,
go check it out.
Buying dead shit.
Yeah.
But this all sound like through and through judgment, because it is. I clearly do not understand cannibalism or someone who might chop up a person. Have you ever seen someone debone a chicken or debone a turkey? No one has ever done that with like a straight face.
I've seen people doing it with a straight face.
But I mean,
who do you think slaughters the chicken that we all buy at a fast food place? Someone is in there with a big knife going clunk, clunk, the whole time and just carrying on. It's to them, it's day to day.
This is the argument for hunting.
For me not understanding that, I then do not get how you would look at a human being and go, yeah, that's a good knee.
Well,
then don't go to Papua New Guinea. Go
to Guamuti Wholesalers.
Go to Guamuti.
You know, it is. There's a difference between, like, you know, there are obviously lots of very ethical sangomas who, as part of their spiritual practices, they believe in, you know, not doing harm, and especially not doing harm to humans using human body parts. But there are obviously, you know, renegades. They're the umtagati, and those are the ones. They get this shit, and they're traveling from here to here with body parts in the car, and God alone knows.
But that's quite a compliment, though.
Hey, what is a compliment?
Not to say that I want to die or be killed like this, but it's quite a compliment.
That someone would want your knee in Muti.
Yes! It's one thing to be called hot. It's one thing to be on, like, Maxim's list of, you know, 160 people in the world. Then it's another when someone says the ancestors, even the ancestors, would really want your knee. I'm just saying. If that were to happen to me, y'all, at my funeral, just make note of it. Don't be too polite and say, oh, he lived a fabulous life. No, say the ancestors wanted
him. They wanted his knee.
Yeah, it's very illegal, and you will be arrested, and you'll be charged with some very heavy crimes if you get caught doing this stuff. So put away any ideas you might have had of, you know, becoming rich this way. Not a good idea. Apparently, Hong Kong's leader Tuesday defended Beijing's new security law, saying it would restore stability and confidence as she vowed to vigorously implement the controversial legislation. Speaking at a press conference a week after China imposed the law on semi-autonomous Hong Kong, Chief Executive Carrie Lam combined warnings with assurances to Hong Kong's residents. The Hong Kong government will vigorously implement this law, she said, and I forewarn those radicals not to attempt to violate this law. So Beijing just clamping down. Surprise, surprise, right, Pumi? What did you expect?
Quietly moving the pieces while the rest of us are trying to, like, deal with the pandemic that started. Surprise, surprise.
So, now you know, one of the world's freest places is now not so free, but we knew this was going to happen. And so it's not all such a surprise. Now, I'd like to welcome someone to the show this morning. It's very good to see Kwaniswang, and we're going to speak to Kwaniswang Pagalit about what she is doing. Pagadit, sorry. So, Kwaniswang, you are in Pretoria, but you've actually gone home, and you've gone back home into the Free State in Botshabelo, right?
Yes, yes, Gareth. Good morning, everybody.
Nice to see you. I'm sorry we had to wake you up so early this morning, but it's for a good reason. Now, unfortunately, it's not a great story, because when you got back to Botshabelo, you saw that you're basically living in some kind of a hell there now, because you decided what you were seeing was so horrible you needed to write to the president. Just describe it to us and tell us a little bit about Botshabelo so we can picture it in our heads, because many of us haven't been there.
So, Gareth, Botshabelo is like, you know how Tembisa is?
Yeah.
You've been to Tembisa, right?
Spread out, big township. Yes. There's some houses, but most of it's informal settlements, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, that kind of thing. So Botshabelo is Tembisa. So what led me to the letter is a whole lot of things, but what was pressing for me to actually put it down in writing is when COSAS decided to close the schools because they wanted all the matriculants to be tested for COVID-19. So my brother is in matric. So when I saw that frustration, I couldn't take it anymore. You know, with everything that's happening, you know, people being without food, nobody saying anything to anybody, everybody taking decisions in the parliament without even consulting the people who are actually living their lives here. Because the money is here in Kasi, Gareth. If people who are staying here were to stay at home, were to be in lockdown, most of the companies would close.
Right.
So if the government is making decisions and all these groups that are formed to protect our kids are making decisions that hinder our kids from even playing a role in the economy, then that's the problem. So that's the thing that made me to write the letter.
So what did you say to the president in this letter, and what was the main thrust of it? Like, what did you want him to do?
First and foremost was to allow the matriculants to go to school, because as black kids, going to school is the only way out of this place, is the only way to feed the families, to change generations' lives. So I was in the letter, I'm asking the president to come down to us and have conversations with us and allow the kids to go to school and find a way to protect them, to make sure that they are being taken care of within this pandemic. The second thing is to change how the school system is. Whether we see it or not, but the way the education system in South Africa is created, it hinders a black child. Mm. Because now all the people who are staying in the suburbs, their kids are going to school. Right. But here the kids are at home running around. So those are the things that create even more issues, because when kids are here at home bored, then sex is the main thing. You know, drugs is the main thing. Then we have a whole lot of kids who are born in poverty and who are still gonna bore babies still in poverty, and we need to fix that.
And Kwaniswang, it sounds to me like, you know, COSAS closing the schools, it's more about them showing how powerful they are than it is about protecting anyone from COVID, because people are running around in Botshabelo anyway, and if COVID is rampant, which we can take it for granted that it might be, then they're probably going to get it in the streets around home just as easily as they would at school, right?
Mm-hmm. You should see it, Gareth. That's the thing as well, that they're closing the schools, yet children are running around. So what's the point of them being at home, but yet they're still walking around as if this thing is not here? They might as well go
and of
to
course,
school.
You know, the parents and the elder siblings are all also trying to earn a living. So if you're already finished with school or you are looking for a job, you're not at home to look after the little kids. And therefore,
nope.
They're left to themselves.
Mm-hmm. So that needs to be sorted. I think COVID has brought a magnifying glass to all the issues that have been looked over. You know, whenever you try and have a conversation about what's happening in South Africa, it's always put in a box of black or white. Mm. And then everybody's fighting about the race issue, but nobody ever actually sees the issues. Nobody's solving the issues, but everybody's fighting about, I'm black, you're white, so what's the problem? Yeah, I'm black, you are white, so what's the issue? What's the real issue?
Goodness, wrong. I was reading all the stuff that Sia sent through that were in your letter. And I was even just listening to you now. I'm wondering, why do you think that COSAS is able to make a decision? Because COSAS is a Congress of South African Students, right? Why are they able to make this decision and nobody in your community takes them on? If they are the Congress of South African Students, then they are somebody's child. They are somebody's brother. They are somebody's co-learner.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that they are able to make this decision and nobody in the community takes them on to say, well, this isn't the right decision for our community? Why are they unable to be called to order?
Because everybody is so busy. Like, people here are busy trying to make a life, and parents don't have the time to, you know, to be fighting about such things. Because the thing is, if I don't go to work and try and figure out why is COSAS making all these decisions for my kids, then, you know, I lose my job because I'm not at work and I have to answer for that. I have to account for that, you know. Hence, I decided that I have to say something. Somebody has to answer for what's happening, because it's not if. So my thing is, so COSAS close schools, I'm saying that they want kids to be tested, but they only did that here, because when I went back to Pretoria, kids were going to school. When I, you know, met some of my friends, their kids were still going to school and everything was normal. And that had me questioning, well, okay, why is it happening home but it's not happening here? How is it that courses have power here but it doesn't have power in the suburbs? What's the story? I
but
need somebody to answer to that.
My point being, that has made this decision for themselves in Botshabelo.
Uh-huh.
And I hear what you're saying, that parents to say, I am to have a conversation with my child. It says, so you are a student leader and I'm in school for what? I think that is a dereliction of duty as a parent. You know, in Nelson Mandela's book,
this is why
he writes, Gareth, hold on. In Nelson Mandela's book, he writes about when he was in prison, that there are many ways to get things done. And in prison, when he was there, if you were cold in winter, you could write a letter to the Minister of Prisons in Pretoria and tell him how unfair it is that you don't have this blanket and the rules, the problem with the rules being 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-huh.
Or you could build a relationship with the prison warder that walks past your gate every day. And when you are cold, because you have a relationship with that person, you can ask them for a blanket. You will get more by asking this prison warder for a blanket outside of the system because you have a relationship with this person. And I think it's is on one way. In one way, yeah, you can write a letter to the president. But the problem is in your community, and the community must take charge of itself and its own children.
But I think Gunisong is doing an amazing thing here, because she's starting to take charge in a neighborhood, and she's not even living there. Most of the time you're in Pretoria, right?
Yes, I am.
I mean, she's starting to let those people know in powerful positions what's really going on, because Pumi, no one's standing up for people in Botshabelo at the moment.
But it's the wrong center of power.
Pumi, listen, so what's happening, like, I hear what you're saying, and you're very right, you know, the relation, everything starts at home. I can't leave my father here and jump to my grandfather without actually, when you address these things at home, everybody is pointing you, so nobody wants to take responsibility. So when you go to the school and say, this is happening, why it's happening, everybody's pointing to somebody else. And it moves around. There's nobody who says, okay, cool, this is the decision that was made, and these are the reasons why. You understand what I'm saying? And so I had to say something and leave everybody that's here, because I need somebody to come and have a conversation with us and help us rebuild this community, you know, so that our kids can get something out of it, so that we don't have to move to the cities to make a living, you know.
Kone-san, you also have your own 2-year-old child, right?
Yes, I do.
So what are your hopes for your own child? Are you going to let them grow up in Botshabelo, or are you going to keep them the hell away from there as long as possible?
The plan was to keep them away from Botshabelo, but I can't, Gareth, because with this pandemic, I had to come home to get help, you know? Mm-hmm. So, looking at it now, you know, we have to make Botshabelo better so that nobody feels like they need to move to the city or to any suburb to make it in life. You know, we need to find a system where money moves around this community.
I'm with you. I think you've done a very good thing here, and I think it's really important. I often write these open letters. I don't know if anyone reads them, but I write them.
I do.
I write them also because it's a way for me to just come to grips with what's going on. And, you know, the buck has to stop with the president. He's the one who brought this lockdown into play. He's the one who told his ministers, you've got to shut down this and shut down that. And this National Coronavirus Command Council, ultimately the ones who make the rules. And they're powerful enough to make a cigarette ban or a liquor ban. They should be powerful enough to tell COSAS to go back to wherever they came from, because they've got no business telling you and other parents, as Pumi says, what to do with your children and when your children can and can't go to school. It's none of their business. It's got nothing to do with them. Even if they're parents, they're only one parent among many. So I would love to talk to you some more, but I'm afraid we're out of time. Please keep doing what you're doing, and good luck to you.
Good luck.
And I'm glad there's someone speaking up for the people of Botshabelo. Thank God, because it's not a glamorous job.
It's not, Gareth. Thank you guys for having me.
Sure. Kone-san, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Cheers.
There we go. There's someone who's concerned, who's doing what she can in her community to try and help people who don't have a voice. And I hear you too, Pums, but, you know, there are all these people, as she says, that are too busy. At least she's made the effort. You know, some people are not doing anything.
You know, it's my favorite thing, is you've got to stand up in where you are at. And I love that. I love the taking charge and making that decision, and I just think that mobilizing more people around you is the place to start. It's sending a letter to the president. He doesn't care. He's so far away. But if you can get 50 parents in this one school to say no more, then you've got that school. Yeah. You know, you've got that school back,
but also,
on track.
I mean, you know, by the same. Understand.
They care more. Those 50 parents care more about their children than the president cares for their children.
Absolutely. But how perverse is our society that a student's congress, who are mostly, what, at university level or at very least high school, end of high school, and they're really posing for a political career. That's what they're doing. How perverse that these people get to decide for other kids what happens to them.
Man. And this is my thing about that. I mean, if Kanego were to start organizing... And that I disagreed with, Kanego and I would have a real conversation. You know, if I needed to smack him upside the head, because you can't. We have the conversation about PlayStation when we have to read, and his friends who are on the other side who don't have to read at that time feel, oh, why do you have to go and read now? The conversation between me and him is a conversation that says you are in charge of your life and this is my house. So you and all your friends, your friends over there, far away.
Mm.
They don't get to make the decision for you and your life and how right. I parent you.
Right. Love it. Is he going to school today? Because last week...
This is really... Parents must take charge. He's off to school as we speak. As we speak now.
All right. Okay. Well, we've got some other people to talk to in the next hour, and it's already just after 7. We spent a bit more time than I thought talking to Kuniswang. But we will take your calls and your thoughts on 079-748-2090. Let us know what you're up to this morning.
Yes. And also people who sent their kids back to school yesterday, because a new cohort of people, like littlings, went back to school. Send us messages. I want to know how
all the creches open now? All the nursery schools, right?
Yeah, like grade R's or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, thankfully as well, I've heard some ECD centers are able to open as well.
Okay, well, that's good news. That's very good news, because obviously for some, you know, parents can't go to work if they don't have anywhere to send their children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
So I'd love to hear from people who did send their kids back, or people who didn't send their kids back, and how they're feeling and what they're thinking. Please send us your messages.
Let us know, 0797482090. It's just after 7, cliffcentral.com. Let's get your morning off to a good start.
Cliffcentral.com.